Welcome to CRA Tips, a series created for CRA practitioners. We know that managing the Community Reinvestment Act program for your financial institution can be challenging, given the plethora of competing priorities. We know you're busy, so we will keep it tight and to the point. The weekly CRA Tips are designed to give you something quick to digest in between our CRA webinars, our newsletters, and blog posts. And for those of you who are new to me, I'm Linda Izuka, your host and founder of CRA Today and the CRA Hub. The CRA Hub is an exclusive membership for bankers to master the Community Reinvestment Act and transform disadvantaged communities through the power of economic development. And if you are joining the podcast for the first time, or are new to CRA Today, you will find that I'm very passionate about this community development work. So now let's get right to it. Enjoy the tip. Recently, I was approached by someone in the industry that was about to be examined and was working on compiling all of their community development loans in anticipation for their CRA exam, of course. So there was a question regarding loans to nonprofits. And what type of community development hooks, if you will, or pillars, might a loan to a nonprofit count under? So I thought I'd share it for today's quick tip. So when approaching and mining for community development loans, you can review your list of loans to nonprofits, as I've mentioned in other podcast episodes. In fact, I do 100% review of loans to nonprofits because there is a good chance that there will be some community development loans when we're looking at the primary purpose of community development as it relates to loans to nonprofits. So let's break each one down. Could a loan to a nonprofit count under affordable housing? Certainly. We have nonprofit organizations that are developers or that conduct homebuyer education and counseling, get people mortgage ready. So there are instances where a loan to a nonprofit might count under the affordable housing hook. Just need to make sure there's the primary purpose of meeting the housing needs of low to moderate income people. The next hook or pillar, if you will, might be community services. This is where we see most of the loans to nonprofits being categorized. But again, not all loans to nonprofits count as community development loans. But if we were to look at a bank loan to a nonprofit that primarily serves low to moderate income people, and the bank extended an unsecured line of credit to support operations, then that might count as a community development loan under community services. Lastly, you might find community development loans when you extend a loan to a nonprofit that resides and operates its business in a low to moderate income tract or in a distressed or underserved middle income geography. And it might count under revitalize and stabilize. So a typical loan here might be maybe a loan to a nonprofit, also to manage cash flow and operations, right? Unsecured. And they are located in this low to moderate income tract. So those are some ways that you might be able to count a loan to a nonprofit and their respective hooks. So again, when mining for community development loans, look at 100% of loans for nonprofit and follow the money to impact. And then don't forget, you'll need to document each identified community development loan. I always say, if it's not documented, it didn't happen. So when documenting loans to nonprofits, you might want to pull up the annual report. You might want to look at the organization's IRS 990. That's their version of a tax return. There might be information there. Or GuideStar.org, or otherwise known as Candid Now, is another opportunity for you to find information that might help support and document that that nonprofit organization primarily serves low to moderate income individuals. So you might also reach out to your lender and see if they have anything in the credit files that would also indicate the same. And if nothing turns up and you're having a hard time documenting if that nonprofit actually serves low to moderate people, you might want to, as a last resort, reach out to the executive director or the primary lead of that nonprofit through the email and ask them to verify if they primarily serve low to moderate, give them some income thresholds, because they may not know what low to moderate income is in their area. And by the way, nonprofits are quite used to being asked for outcomes and statistics because of their business model. They are seeking grants and philanthropic resources, and in doing so, they have to keep statistics, outcomes, and measurements to prove impact. So likely they will have the information that you're looking for. And then the email back to you indicating that, yes, in fact, they do primarily serve low to moderate income people can then become your documentation. So there are many different ways to approach documenting loans to nonprofits to substantiate that they are in fact meeting the needs of low to moderate income people. But you got to do it. Don't forget, every time you identify a loan, then go ahead and document it while you're at it, because you're touching the transaction. Don't move on to the next until you have perfected your defense for examiner scrutiny. Okay, so I hope that helps. And until next time, bye for now.
Well, I hope this week's CRA tip was helpful and adds value to you and your CRA program. If you want to take a deeper dive into core concepts of the Community Reinvestment Act and connect with your CRA colleagues, you may want to consider joining the CRA Hub. We go live weekly with CRA-specific activities like core content training, Q&A sessions, challenges, guest speakers, and more. Check out cratoday.com/hub to learn more. Until the next CRA podcast episode, take care of you. Bye for now.